Welcome to Begin With Yes with Paul Boynton on Empower Radio, a show to help you create and embrace real personal change. You can overcome the challenges in front of you. You just begin with yes. Here's your host, Paul Boynton.
Hey, Brent, thank you so much. It's great to be part of the Empower Radio family and grateful to be connecting with people from literally all over the world who today are going to be listening to my conversation with Lisa Landry, who is the owner of Savvy Workshop and Print Savvy. Both companies are very related and are multi-service companies, and I'm going to ask Lisa to explain them a bit, but we're also going to be talking about the ins and outs and ups and downs of owning your own business. So, Lisa, it's so good to have you with us today.
It's my pleasure, Paul.
Great. Let's begin talking about your companies. Are they companies or one company with a couple of different emphasis areas? And tell us a little bit about what you do.
Sure. I think it's an evolving work in progress, like many businesses. I started Print Savvy in 1998, and it was very much a print-focused organization. We did some graphic design and, certainly some trade show business at that time. But as the industry has evolved, we've really evolved to become a full-service, multi-channel marketing firm. So we have in-house copywriting, graphic design. We have the ability now to deliver creative in many different media formats, from web pages to HTML email blast. We're doing social media. We're doing so much more than traditional print alone. And most of the campaigns that we get involved in require many of these deliverables. So we're doing a lot of multi-channel direct mail marketing campaigns that might include a direct mail piece, an HTML announcement. Oftentimes there's an event or conference that invite might be around. So all of this we pull together under the Savvy Workshop brand now. So that really is an umbrella to hold all of the various elements that we're design savvy, we're print savvy, we're copyright savvy, and we're web
savvy.
And
just plain savvy, right?
Just plain savvy, yeah. Thank you.
You know, lots of people, and I'm sure people listening to our conversation today, are thinking about or dreaming about owning their own company. And there's certainly, it's a very attractive concept, because I think you have this thought that you can be your own boss and there's no one telling you what to do and you can have more flexible hours. And what's the real world like compared to the fantasy? And maybe you can remember when it was a dream or a fantasy for you.
I think it's still a dream for me, and okay. I am very entrepreneurial, so I do very much love the idea of being in charge of my own destiny. When I started my career after college, I went directly into a sales role, and from that perspective, I've always sort of been in charge of writing my own checks. The more I sold, the more I made. If I didn't sell much, I would be in trouble. So I got very used to tying my own effort and contribution to how I was compensated. As time went on and I decided to have a family, the idea of having my own business really became attractive so that I could set my own time frames. I knew that no matter what, I would see work through and I'd be 100% responsible, but it was hard to explain to a boss or other partners in a firm why I needed to check out at 3 o'clock to go to a hockey game or a dentist appointment or something like that. And I really felt that I needed to be accountable to myself. And that was a big part for me of starting my own business. I definitely envisioned building a team of people that were like-minded. I was very idealistic about the type of environment that I was going to create for employees. It was very important to me to be a socially responsible employer. I felt it was really my dream, my vision, to empower my team to contribute and to give them the freedom to bring their own ideas and creativity to the process. And I do think that many of those ideals exist here still and have a lot to do with our staying power. We've been in business about 14 years now.
Lisa, one of the things that my son, Josh, has his own business, and he certainly appreciates the flexibility, but in terms of the amount of hours he puts into his company, it's not less hours, it's probably more hours. Is that true for you too?
I think that is probably most entrepreneurs' experience. It is a lot to undertake to run your own business. And I think if you think about it this way, let's say that you were a really good architect and you're a craftsman at what you do. You're a technician. You have the technology to do that particular job. When you decide to make the leap to start your own architectural firm, now you have the burden of management, HR, accounts receivables, accounts payables, getting financed from your bank, worry about paying the overhead, making payroll every week. So you end up, right down to who's going to clean the floor and who's going to make sure the bathrooms are tidy. You take on the responsibility of managing this big picture thing. Whereas if you're working for someone else, you're that technician. You come in, you do what you love to do, you're good at it, you get it done, and you go home. So, yeah, for sure, when you're an entrepreneur, all of those other hats have to be worn. And I know from my experience, when I started the business, I went into it knowing that there were going to be things that I would have to take responsibility for that were not necessarily within my comfort zone, such as the accounting processes and things. I had not really done that, in a job before. And I knew that I was going to be stretching myself. And it was a challenge for sure. And those things took me longer because I wasn't a bookkeeper or an accountant to learn. Sure. And I would do them on the weekends a lot of time. And it took a while until I got to a place where I could justify bringing in someone to do bookkeeping.
I smiled when you mentioned cleaning the floors or cleaning the bathroom, and sometimes the person that cleans the floor, in the early days, that person is you, right?
That's right. There might be nobody else if you start as an individual.
I love that. There might be nobody else. Could be a slogan for one of your customers. There might be nobody else. You know, where did this entrepreneurial spirit come from? Were your parents entrepreneurs, or do you have a sense for who influenced you that way, or do you feel like it's just something that is in your blood?
Oh, gosh. My parents were not entrepreneurs. I definitely would say I got my work ethic from my mother. My mother worked for 44 years in the probate court system. When she retired after 44 years of service, they gave her quite an honorable ceremony to see her out, and she had worked her way up to be Deputy Register of Probate. So I'm very proud of her that in the early years, she started pretty much right out of high school. She raised a family during that time. They did allow her during her career to be flexible and go to sometimes, somewhat part-time hours, 32 hours, I think, for a while she worked so that she could be home with us after school and not have such long days. But she did work for the government, so definitely not in an entrepreneurial role. But she worked so hard, and she never gave up. And I think that it was ingrained in me that I wanted a career. I definitely wanted to be able to be in charge of my own destiny, as I said. And this was a great way for me to maneuver towards my dream on my own terms. And you really can't do that when you're working for someone else. So I definitely have, a burning desire to be successful. And when you are in your own business, you have the glory or you die by the sword. You know, it's up to you. It's completely up to you. You're completely accountable for what you do.
And sometimes you have both of those experiences. I think that there must be ebbs and flows to any business, and so
regularly.
So someday, has it been difficult getting used to the ups and downs, or are you sort of go with the flow kind of person?
Well, I think if you're smart, you're a go-with-the-flow kind of person. That doesn't mean that you don't plan and try to set things up for the outcome that your vision is. When you have a strong vision for the way you want things to go, it can be challenging when things go a different way. I think sometimes we do have to accept that things have changed. Certainly in my industry, the printing industry has evolved and changed so much. Many of the printers I used to work with are out of business because the need for print materials has just diminished so much. I think printing will always be an important element, but it can't be the only element of a marketing plan where it used to be such a star player. So I've had to change what we do and, again, expand my expertise to be able to service all of these different areas. I think that you begin to see that it's a lot easier to direct traffic in the direction it's already going. Mm-hmm. So if everyone's going this way, maybe that's something wise for me to evaluate and see if I can go that way too. And I have an audience and they know me and they respect our reputation for getting a job done. So maybe I should find out how to get HTML email campaigns delivered and not just direct mail print campaigns delivered. So that's kind of, you know, where I was in terms of having to be flexible. It is frustrating to run up against brick walls. And, you know, there are all those stories of people that stop mining from gold just, you know, a few feet away, and then someone comes in and strikes it right after they've given up. So I'm not much of a quitter. You know, in this industry over 14 years, I've had to reinvent myself several times. In 2001, after the events of September 11th, I'm sure everybody remembers how terrible that was, and the entire country was grieving, and there were some other fallouts that happened that directly affected people's businesses, and one was that no one wanted to fly anywhere. We had a giant conference trade show that we had done a tremendous amount of work for. We had done all the day of event signage. We had done the invitations. We had done the programs, the agendas, et cetera. And all of the executives that were flying to the conference that was to be held on September 12th got grounded wherever they were. From that point forward, pretty much every trade show and conference that I had in my pipeline, if you will, in my sales pipeline, was canceled. At first, many were delayed, and some, you know, they said would come again in March or what have you. And really, I think without exception, they all ended up being completely canceled. And that was quite a blow. And we had our mojo going on. We were feeling like we're on fire. We had a lot of work. We were excited about it. We were feeling like we had a team that we could support. I was covering my overhead without an issue. The end of 2002, boy, we had to look at the numbers and say, wow, what are we going to do now? Because over a year, it diminished so much of the capital that we'd put into the business. So I do feel like, you know, we've had to rebuild like many businesses over and over again. And it is a challenge. It's a challenge because I think some people think you're going to work at this hard for a couple years, sure, but then you're going to reach this plateau where you'll have it made. That doesn't seem to be the experience of most entrepreneurs I know.
You know, that's interesting that you talk about that because, as you know, Lisa, I run a nonprofit that serves people with intellectual disabilities and have served on many nonprofit boards. And we tend to sometimes bemoan the fact that there's so much change going on in healthcare and human services. And I'm often reminded that if you look around, this kind of change and need to reinvent yourself, there's almost no business that isn't in that same situation. It's almost like if you look at banking and publishing and the music industry and printing, and no matter where you look, you see people needing to sort of be nimble, which I love that word, nimble, but also being willing and able to readjust, and sometimes readjust in pretty major ways, and get used to the rhythm of change, because it doesn't feel to me like it's going to, the need to be able to change is going to go anywhere fast soon.
I 100% agree. I think I've reinvented myself as many times as Madonna has at this point. So, yeah, your analogy is not lost on me. I think, you know, the Buddha said it, you know, there is an impermanence in the world and things are in a constant state of change. And you really can't fight the fact that it's going to change because that's the reality we all live in, whether it in business or in our personal lives. Things are going to change. How are you going to respond to that change? Are you going to become your best friend and an asset to what you're going to do next? Or are you going to dig in and keep trying to do things the tired old ways that aren't working? You'll end up being a dinosaur if that's your, you know, if the latter is your choice.
And it won't take long to get there. Let me ask you a question, and I'm going to bring you way, way back to the very beginning of your company. And that is, did you start with a company or did you start with a customer?
I started with a company. I did have several clients who had indicated that they'd be interested in following me if I set out on my own. Okay. So I was very fortunate to have that sort of sales right out of the box. Mm-hmm. I always had been in a very prominent sales role in every engagement that I had been in previously. So I had that benefit where I think sometimes an entrepreneur who is that great technician who does this great work may not have had any sales skills and may not have an existing customer base to sell them to. So they've built that better mousetrap, and now they have to figure out, how am I going to let the world know? I had already had a lot of experience about letting the world know that we were creative, that we were, you know, could solve problems and could help them execute their programs that would support their marketing initiatives. So I had a following, so that was very helpful. I think I was a little bit naive, if you will, when I started the business. I launched the business in my living room, and I had been looking for space. I just hadn't found it yet. And so many of my clients that had been previously clients at another firm were so excited to give me work. It was like right out of the box. They wanted to show their support. I was overwhelmed and drowning in work within the first 2 weeks, and I was thinking, how the heck am I going to get this all done? At the time, I had a small child, and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not sure this is what I signed up for. I thought I was going to have more flexibility, you know. But soon, I was able to hire a couple of people and get them trained to support me, and you know, we got into a flow where it was steady, it was good, it felt like I was paying the bills, and I was making things happen. I was building a reputation for my new business under my own brand, very proud of that, and was able to not work 80 hours every single week. Certainly we have weeks still where, you know, if there's an important deadline that we have to meet, we make it happen. The buck stops here. We have to make it happen.
You know, when you were talking earlier, I was thinking when you work for somebody else, there's always somebody else to blame. But when you're working for yourself, the only person to blame is yourself. And that's a different dynamic, I think.
I think that's absolutely true. And what good does it do to blame anybody? At the end of the day, you know, we're all 100% responsible for ourselves. I can't change what someone else does. I can only change my reaction to it. I can't let someone else's bad business practices ruin my life or my business. So sometimes you let go of the things that aren't working. If there's a relationship that doesn't work, you have to let it go and move on. And sometimes by doing that, you open up the door to find relationships that will work.
And, you know, that's an interesting thought, because it's certainly true in business, and it's certainly equally true in personal relationships, that sometimes the time comes when moving on is the best thing that you can do. And so it's good advice that you offer. I know that you're a very relationship-oriented business, Lisa, and that you must thrive by having good, solid, warm relationships, or that wouldn't be the culture of your company. But how important do you think that is for an entrepreneur or for someone that wants to start a new business to be relationship-oriented?
I think it's a huge asset. And I mean, you hear about those exceptions, like your Steve Jobs, who wasn't necessarily easy to work for or pleasant always to be around when he had a singular purpose in mind. And I think he's an exception, because I think most people that are collaborating on a dream with a group of other people, a company at the end of the day is a collection of people. And if you can get those people to all be on the same page and all be pulling the rope in the same direction, you're going to get a lot more accomplished. And you accomplish that by being, I think, an authentic and good person. And I genuinely respect the people that I work with. The people that have joined my team add so much to me. I hire people that are smarter than me all the time, and I tell them so.
Yeah.
And it makes me smarter than them, I say, because I hired people smarter than me. But
that's a win-win that you're always talking about.
Yes, it is. A win-win is really what I think business should be about. And at the end of the day, in any relationship, when one person's always losing, I think this is, you know, a Stephen Covey, you know, theme from one of his books, I think The Seven Habits, he talks about this. But, you know, if it's not win-win, eventually it will break down. And I seek win-win relationships where my clients, you know, feel the true value. And not just clients. I get resumes. In these times, I get resumes probably once or twice a week. I get a resume from somebody who wants to be in this industry. First, I try to talk them out of it. No, I'm just kidding. But really, if there's a way that I could connect two people that would help them in the future to find that right opportunity, I do so. And I cannot tell you how many hundreds of times someone I made some little gesture to help that there was nothing in it for me. I just really thought, hey, I know so-and-so, I'll connect them. And once that happened, good things came to them. It almost inevitably comes back to me. And I bet you by the end of my life, it all will have come back to me, because it takes time sometimes for these ripple effects to come all the way around the world.
Right, and they're not direct, are they? They're not, you know, if you, karma doesn't work like that. It's sort of, it's a more big picture kind of event, at least in my mind it is. Do you, I know, Lisa, that you also have a culture at your company and a personal style of giving back to people and helping other people and actually creating a sense of community within your community. And can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. I think everyone here at Savvy has been involved with some of the causes that we've tried to support. We do care a lot about the nonprofits, you know, such as More Center Services is doing so much for an underserved population and such important work that they do. There are so many causes, and if I could make a difference in one person's life, that's worthy. And if I can do more than that, that's commendable. So I'm hoping that, you know, the life that I'm using here isn't wasted and that I've made a difference. And I guess beginning with that, trying to set the example, when there are things that we can step up and do here at Savvy, we do. We've been involved as a group for countless initiatives. One that stands out often is the American Heart Association. And what's cool about that is I have a boy that was born with congenital heart defects, and he has undergone two open heart surgeries, first when he was born in 2000 and then again in 2005. And I can't tell you the gratefulness I have, because during that time I had had, you know, a baby. I was going in to have a baby. I told my team, well, don't worry. It's not like I'm going to be, you know, in Siberia or anything. If you need me, as long as I'm not in labor, you know, call me and I can answer any questions. When my son was diagnosed with a heart defect, we were rushed to Boston Children's Hospital. I was brought into an area where he was in ICU. I could not use a telephone. And pretty much for my team, I was in Siberia. And every time I called in, they were like, we're all set. Don't worry about it. We've got it covered. I came back from maternity leave and was just so indebted to them and grateful for everything that they had done to keep things running for me so I could spend that time with my child. And I get choked up when I talk about this, but it happened again in 2005 when he had his second surgery, which I had to take, you know, pretty much a month off of work to be his number one nurse. That's where I needed to be. And they have all rallied around this cause. We've done the American Heart Association's Heart Walk together as a team, reaching out to all of our partners, clients, vendors, subcontractors, and raising. We're usually one of the top walking teams. Last year we were the number one fundraiser team. We've regularly been number one, two, or three, and they just all completely get around that, and we go out as a team, and it's been, you know, wonderful for us to give back to the Heart Association, who I sincerely credit with my son's, you know, having the opportunity to have surgeries that healed him. And he's well, by the way. He's doing very well. He's 12 and he weighs 110 pounds and he's 5'3" and he's like a machine. You know, he's the strongest kid on his hockey team. So we're very fortunate that his outcome was so good. But, you know, knowing that there are many children out there that isn't their story, you know, it's very important to me to give back so that every parent will hear when they get diagnosed with such a thing that there's a solution, because that's what we heard. This is what's going on, but we can fix it. And I want everybody to be able to fix it. So it's very personal here in between, you know, the walls at Savvy. We all, I think, respect each other as friends, as colleagues. But when something happens like that, that is personal in someone's life, we all feel like, how can we help? And they've all certainly stepped up to help me. And I do the same whenever I can.
Well, congratulations on being first, and even congratulations too for your employees who pitched in. You know, I know that as important as your business is, and I know your business is very, very important. What's more important to you is family, and I know you have four sons and a husband and a very busy family life. And I'm wondering, how do you find and keep balance? And well, I guess the first question is, do you find balance?
It's a constant struggle, to be honest. I do believe that as young women, we were told we could have it all, and I'm not so sure that that is true. And my apologies to any young woman out there thinking that they still can, but I do think that there are compromises that need to be made. There are many times that I've missed an important milestone, you know, a child's first step or first words, and, you know, as a mother, really long not to miss anything, of course, and but there are other times that I also know I'm setting an example for my children of hard work, and I'm wanting to support them with future careers by helping them get an education, and you know, so I try to keep centered in what my purpose is, and truly I'm not only the CEO of Savvy Workshop, but I'm also the CEO of my house.
Yep.
Don't tell my husband I said that. But he would admit it's true if you yeah. asked him. I do. I am, like, you know, not that he doesn't support me greatly and certainly has a huge role in making decisions around the house, but, you know, mom is like the center of the universe to her children, and we are the ones that are picking up on a kid having a tough day at school or noticing that cold's kind of gone on longer than it should. Let's check that out and bring him to the doctor and so forth. So we do. We maintain the house. And, you know, I think when someone walks into a home, they don't look around if it's messy and say, boy, that husband of hers really needs to do some housework. You know, we seem to be given the responsibilities of being, you know, the perfect wife, the perfect mother. And if you have a career, you know, you want to be a shining star there as well. And I heard Gloria Steinem a few years ago. She was speaking to a group, and I just, you know, just admire her so much for all that she's done so that women like me, I'm 45 right now, could have choices as we were coming up, you know, into industry to work where we wanted to work and do the types of things we wanted to do. But one thing she said that I thought was so profound is she said, I didn't do all of this work so that you guys would have to feel like you were super mom and super career lady and super wife and entertaining your husband's boss on the weekends and having the perfect home. I did this so that you could make choices. And I think that's wise. You know, I think we do have to make choices. And, you know, certainly there have been times when I've had to slow down a little bit my career track, and my business might be at a different level if I didn't put family first. I had to put family first.
Well, and I think that you probably have made very, very good choices along the way. I'm wondering, do you feel, and we've got just a couple of minutes left, but do you feel any sort of pull towards encouraging or mentoring other women who are just venturing off into businesses on their own? Or is that something that you ever think about or get engaged in?
Well, actually, in not just women that are interested in their own businesses, but I love helping that next generation. You know, both male and female. I think sometimes, you know, it does naturally happen that you end up mentoring a young woman that, you know, is aspiring to a career and might you know confide in you that needs advice or something like that. And over the years, I've had the opportunity to work with many, you know, up and coming, newly minted professionals, if you will, as they were just setting out, and I've had the opportunity to give a lot of them a chance right here at Savvy to get their wings and to get some experience and to feel like they've had some wins in the industry that they can go put in their portfolio and show, and that always makes me feel incredibly gratified. And honestly, it's almost a little bit of, I guess it's a teacher gene, but maybe it's a little mothering gene too, that, you know, you end up mothering them and trying to nurture them while they're just getting out. That may come from the fact that when I was starting out, I feel like I was well mentored. I had a lot of people who cared about me and gave me a chance. And that's about giving back. It's about paying
it forward. Lisa, how can people that are listening to this find you? Do you have a Facebook page, or are you on LinkedIn?
We are on Facebook. We're on Facebook as Savvy Workshop, and that's SAVVY Workshop. Okay. We also are at savvyworkshop.com.
Okay.
And you can also find us at printsavvy.com, where we have a lot of our the custom imprinted, like Trotsky's giveaways, trade show. We have a portfolio there that you can view in terms of the type of print-related work that we've done. And I would be delighted to connect with anyone who wants to find us there. We're on LinkedIn as well under Print Savvy. Mostly because we've kept that name because we have so many connections under that name, and we've had many more people worked for us while we were called Print Savvy. I don't want to lose connection with them by changing it over. So we still live there as Print Savvy. lisaaldridge.com.
Lisa, you've been a wonderful guest, and I'm sure that your experiences have inspired others. I hope people that want to continue this conversation will reach out to you on your Facebook page or through your website. And I've just thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and maybe we'll have you come back again, and we can continue talking about what it means to have your own business and the ups and downs. But thank you so much for being with us today, and I'll be seeing you again real soon.
Thank you, Paul. You inspire us every week.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for being with us on Begin With Yes, and we will see you next time.